Hi guys. What's up? If you know the name of that band and that song, consider yourself cool. As always, I have Bronson right next to me. Want to say something, Bronson? That's him. But thank you guys once again for joining and for welcoming me into your ears. Take three. On this episode, I have my really good friend, Jonathan. Jonathan and I go way back. We used to work at a fashion showroom together about 3 or 4 years or so. So you get to kind of understand a little bit of my background and where I've stemmed from, which is fashion. So this episode is kind of going different directions. Since we both have that fashion background, we couldn't resist but to spill some hot tea on this show. We kind of gossip a little bit. I've kind of went back and forth in my head, like, Hey, Virginia, should you delete this? Is this too much? But then you know what? Fuck it. Nothing's really too much these days. I'll never need anything from these people and vice versa. So there you have it. For you to enjoy. Anyway, guys, so later on in this month, I do want to release another episode, which will be like a Christmas bonus episode, where I will discuss more like Christmas films and whatnot. The quite essential Christmas films and not the typical Christmas films as well. So that one should be fun. Hey, subscribe. Have you subscribed to the show yet? You gotta subscribe because next year, dude, next year is gonna be a good fucking year for Los Angeles Film Club. Let me tell you that. So you won't know about this stuff if you don't subscribe. So you gotta subscribe and maybe even share. Hey, how about that one? But yeah, guys, thanks for joining me. Thanks for subscribing. If you already have, thanks for following. Thanks for liking. I appreciate everything, all of your support. Thanks for sharing. I love you. And I hope you enjoyed this podcast, this episode, as much as I enjoyed recording it. Thank you so much, Jonathan, for sharing your thoughts. And yeah, just for being my partner in crime here on this show. I love you, and I already miss you, and yeah, without further ado, guys, take three. Enjoy. Hi, Jonathan.
Hi, Virginia.
How's it going?
Well, how are you? I'm good. A little tipsy, actually.
Are you really? It's the martinis I got you, huh?
It's amazing. This lady, this martini is like a whiskey in the best way possible. Should we sponsor?
Dude, if any sponsors out there want to sponsor Los Angeles Film Club, come on.
Come on.
I'm waiting for you.
Literally, we're like two besties talking about film club, talking about politics, talking about everything under the sun. So please join us for the ride. If you are California sober, light up, put your glasses up.
Go for it.
Enjoy.
Cheers, dude.
Cheers.
Cheers. All right, so I have my friend here, Jonathan, that I've known for so many years, and he came down here, and I'm so happy to have him. We were geeking out over the new Sofia Coppola film, which is Priscilla, that's out now in theaters, and it's also streaming, right?
Yes, I believe it starts streaming November 15th, or the last I checked.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. I saw it in movie theaters, so I just couldn't wait. And she also has a book.
The Elvis and Me, right?
No, Sofia Coppola has a
book. Oh, she has a separate book on Priscilla?
She has a separate book, no, of like all her archive, which is like all like imagery of all the films she's done. And it's a cool pink, thick
kind of like a scrapbook or something?
It's like a table book. It's beautiful. I have to get it still. It has like photos of Lost in Translation and like the wardrobe department, what went in that
Sophia,
and stuff.
Sophia, if you're listening, please send us a copy.
Sophia, I know you're out there and I know you're a film lover, so...
Send us a copy. Help us.
Send us a copy. Or you know what? Come to the podcast.
Oh my God. Yes. We welcome you anytime.
Yes. But a little bit of Sofia Coppola. Obviously, her father is Francis Ford Coppola. Mm-hmm. The
world famous what,
filmmaker. But you know what's funny though about him is that he went to UCLA with the whole Italian background that they have and the wine they have too. Because they have a wine out there called Coppola. Yeah, they do. And it's fair.
Do they own it too?
Yeah, they do. They own the vineyards and whatnot. And these people are loaded, okay? But Francis Ford Coppola went to UCLA and he got his degree in filmmaking in Los Angeles, being that he has all this Italian background and like the Coppola estate and all that stuff. So I thought it was pretty Interesting,
I
right?
think it just goes to show that, like, I mean, regardless of where you are, people want to be in Hollywood. This was here for. But my opinion on her, I love her. I think, you know, especially we're coming at an age where women are being more empowered and being seen and visible in the film industry, not only film, beauty, everywhere, basically every industry, which is beautiful. I always like to say it's the age of femme. But
And
with that being
she
said,
embodies that so much,
yes,
the age of. I've seen her in interviews and whatnot, and she has this very quiet type of demeanor where like she doesn't really say a lot, but I feel like that translates with her film, you know, like her feminism, her like the lonely like
I love the Mean Girls
scenes.
that she had for like the
Oh,
star.
right.
That one literally was my favorite. Like it,
She always gravitates towards
the
like the
loners,
younger, yeah, the loners and like the more younger crowd. Like that Lick the Star was actually her very first film, which is on YouTube. It's like 15 minutes. It's a black and white film.
It's literally amazing. It gives me like schoolyard vibes that I never thought I needed, but like it definitely took me, transported me to that very point where like we all knew that little like the angsty kind of bully, but then at the same time you couldn't hate but love her, you know? You wanted to
Right.
be her, like the Regina George of like her generation. It was beautiful.
But to be honest, I never really cared for the Regina George.
See, but I see the similarities in that same movie.
But it's kind of like a different perspective though, right? Of the Regina George, because she was more like an anti-social and like more like
Power hungry?
like more in her thoughts and like I guess more of a melancholy Regina George, like more of a Sofia Coppola-esque, right? But yeah, speaking of Sofia Coppola and like her dad, like I thought it was kind of funny that he got his degree here in Los Angeles in UCLA, and she actually went to school too, but she never got her degree. She kind of just abandoned school, cause come on, like your dad is Francis Ford Coppola, so it's like you have all the tools there. Like why go to school, you
Yeah,
know?
but I think we all get that situation, especially living in a parents or even a family member shadow where we want to prove ourselves in some way, you know. And I
Right.
think that's what she does beautifully, where like she's definitely gained her roses and her recognition with all the work that she's done, especially with Priscilla. Amazing work. I think the fact that I remember I saw an interview where she said that she wanted to not only she saw herself in Priscilla in that character, and Kylie really portrayed it really beautifully. Just the whole cast was really well, and the fact that she worked with a limited budget and she did such a beautiful masterpiece, it just goes to show you don't need so much money to create something beautiful.
True, yeah, and it's true. That's the thing about her films too. Like they're not like these huge productions, right? Like it's just
Like an
the,
indie film.
yeah, they're more indie film, right? Exactly. They have that vibe of like it's just between two people, and in reality, that kind of is how life is, though. It's about that awkward silence. It's about like that weird engagement, and just kind of like having the viewer kind of have their own take on certain situations within the film, you know? Like Virgin Suicides is one of my all-time favorite films. That quote of that one girl where she's like in the she's trying to commit suicide, so she goes to the doctor and the doctor's diagnosing her, and the doctor's like, you have nothing wrong with you, like I don't know why you're depressed, kind of like judging her. And then you know what she said? You've never been a 13-year-old girl, doctor. Because it's so true, you know. I feel like women have different pressures with different eras, you know, like the age of today, like being a 13-year-old girl today, I think it's probably the worst. You have all these influences coming at you, like you have TikTok there, you have the internet, you know. Like back in the day, my 13-year-old, I never had the internet or any of that, you know, so I didn't give a shit. I just had music and I thought that was cool, you know. But all of the like emotions that come with that, with like trying to know yourself, like should I be like seductive, I'm 13, or should I be like just not giving a shit and be a
Should I
nerd? Or
even be thinking about all these
yeah,
things? You know,
exactly. Should I be a kid, or is it weird to be a kid still, you know? So I really thought Virgin Suicides really hit the nail on the head with that sentiment, and Josh Hartnett being in there, the heartthrob, you know? So I definitely think that that's a great film, and you see a lot of that in Priscilla too, you know, like how she was so young and she was groomed,
14 years
14
old
years old.
and at a military base, and her father was there.
Right.
That's where you really think, like, what was the father's intention? Because, I mean, it goes back to, like, how it was before where families would marry off their daughters for benefit. Was it beneficial? Was it worth it? That's what I want to ask. I think what we should have had, what Sophia could have added if she had any, like, a little bit more time, maybe the father's perspective. You know what I mean? Because, like, Priscilla's perspective is valid, but at the same time, even it may take years for her to really truly understand what truly happened to her. And even
Right.
to now, you know, thankfully she's still alive and we are able to, she was able to get notes on that. But then sometimes you don't want to say too much to the point where you don't want to hurt the person that you once loved, you know?
Right.
You know, like, I want to know if there's anything that might have been held back.
Right.
That
wasn't, so you feel like there was more in there.
I feel like there was something more that could have been in there.
Yeah.
But I think that's the thing with Hollywood, and especially being a creator or a director, you kind of fear pushing too much, or like, right. how much is too much, how much right. is like betrayed, you know?
So. Right. Yeah. So, yeah, I do agree with you. Like, it could have been more in there with the story between Elvis and her and, like, the family and stuff. But I also, like, you have to remember that this was a different era. Mm-hmm. You know, like, not everybody
the
was...
The 60s,
yeah. Yeah, like, not everybody was woke. And I don't even think people knew how to approach certain situations that way, you know? And I think they just heard Elvis, and they're like, whoa.
Oh, my goodness, Elvis.
The king.
You know, the king. You know? You with him, you know?
Yeah.
But then you also think about it, too. It's like, you think about it from her perspective, I was just like, okay, well, like, if any of us were not put in that position, I mean, it's definitely easy to get swept away by all the glitz and glamour of Hollywood and being with someone who is very well known in there. So I think that that's also another layer that we
but
got
I also
to
think
see.
My parents being Mexican, they would probably be like, maybe who the fuck is this dude?
Well, I mean, depends on every region of Mexico.
True, yeah. There could be some people out there like, oh, wow, we have money now.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. But then, you know, but you never know.
You do never know. And yeah, but what I love about this film is that even though, like, she was approached at a very young age and, like, you kind of thought, like, wow, like, that's kind of gross. Like, she's being groomed and stuff. And I thought it was so beautiful that you were able to see, like, she was still becoming a woman within your, right in front of your eyes.
Yeah.
And she was getting to know who she was and who she wasn't. You know, like, I love the ending where she was like, you know what, I think I'm done. And she was able to walk away. And I was like, I'm so happy that that happened to her, you know, and that's how it played out.
Yeah.
Because it takes a mature woman to actually, you know, be like, yeah, I'm going to leave these riches aside because that's not who I am. Mm-hmm. And he wanted to change her. He wanted, like, dye her black, do this, do
the
that.
Eyeliner, makeup, more makeup. And I was just like,
which, by the way, he had great taste, by the way.
But, I mean, it makes you lead to the next question. It kind of gives me that same situation, that the way that they approached each other gave me the same situation with Freddie Mercury. Oh, remember his muse? I remember in the movie Bohemian Rhapsody where, like, he met this girl, basically, like, you know, loved her so much, but he knew that he didn't want to be with her in that way. And then Elvis even waited till she was, like, they were married to even consummate, but then she didn't got pregnant quickly. So, like, you know, it's those things where you think about it. I'm like, because it was a different time, who knows? He could have gone both ways.
True. Very true.
Speculate. I mean, how many rumors and like, you know, like, stories have we heard where there's been, like, secret underground, like, gay clubs or, like, since, like, the 50s, 40s, you know? You never know who could have turned.
Yeah, there was rumors, like, too. Freddie Mercury, like, having sex with young kids.
Yeah,
too.
And then, like, and then Marlene Dietrich as too, you know?
Yeah. Those were the days. Just kidding.
Right? I mean, I'm pretty sure they might be happening right now, too. We just don't know. Because, you know, like, they hide it so well. I mean, with technology, there's so many things that can, like, you know.
There's definitely a lot of darkness out there in the Hollywood world.
But the thing is that the lights shine brighter. So, you know, regardless. I always say, I'd rather be exposed in the light than shot in the dark.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I was like,
awkward silence.
No, it's because, like, it's true, because, like, you know, like, I'd rather be exposed and hated for who I am than to blend into something that I know I'm not.
Yeah, you know? For sure. Especially, like, why be uncomfortable with your own self,
exactly.
too, you know, forever. It's, at some time,
that's your own personal hell.
Yeah. And then at some point, it's going to get revealed, too. Mm. I mean, look at Puff Daddy.
Mm.
He went so long being, like, this wholesome rapper.
Mm.
And now he's being exposed left and right, you know?
I'm telling you, like, everything catches up to you no
it
matter
does,
what.
It does, yeah.
Like, and especially in a moment where, like, even not even, like, people exposing them for, like, monetary value. It's more just, like, it's just more, like, karma, you know?
Right.
It's just, like, it always comes, like, everything just comes to light no matter what. Like, you know, you can't hide it for too long. That's why I always tell people, like, try to be as authentic as you can. Because at the end of the day, what do you have to lose?
Right. I love your positivity. It's, like, the best.
And
people out there, whoever's listening, like, I'm sure they need a lot of that right now because the world is so dark right now. And, like, having to hear somebody like you, like, that has, like, this different view on things that's, like, it sheds light, you know. And I feel like people need that right now, especially December. I always feel like December.
Holiday season depression.
Dude, holiday season is, like, the worst. I mean, for me, like, I'm getting more used to it. Like, yeah, it's about the kids, about family, you know, like, whatever. It's not really about me.
But then you're like, what about me?
What about me?
Because technically, we never really grow. We're all kids, no matter what. I think we just have adult responsibilities.
Exactly.
You know?
You grow older and you're like, okay, then what's my responsibility now?
Exactly. Yeah. And I always like to say, like, never be ashamed of who you are, what you do, because at the end of the day, if it makes you happy, it makes you happy.
Exactly.
You know, as long as, you know, like, communicate your needs and, you know, be who you want to be. Like, be free. Like, we have one life to live, or at least we live in, like, you believe in reincarnation, which is also valid, because I believe in that too. But, you know, it's just, do it right. You know, do it right the first time, so you don't have to come back and do it again.
Right. So in other words, fuck it.
Fuck it.
Exactly. So back to the film. So Priscilla, like, I loved it. As far as, like, your take of it, like, what do you think? What do you give it in the rate? Would you give it, like, as far as, like, 5 stars being the best?
I was going to say out of 10. I was like, 8. But, yeah, okay, so I'll give it 4.5. Because, like I said, I enjoy indie films. Like, anything that A24 does, I love. Because I think it's definitely with the times, it's more modern. And I love the fact that she did, this was an independent film versus a high studio film. Because I feel like what tends to happen in Hollywood is when you have a big budget, you tend to add so much extraness that you don't need. It becomes so inauthentic. You know, like CGI.
Right.
Like when you're just like, why'd you have to CGI that baby like in Twilight? Remember?
Right. Oh my God,
I was like,
yes.
It just took away from it to the point where it's just like, is that even human? You
know?
I get the idea of, like, they're vampires, but at the same time, it's just, like...
So that's what really threw me off with Twilight.
See?
Because I always was trying to find, like, why is it so juvenile to me?
Mm-hmm.
But it was a CGI that I could never get into. So I'm exactly. like, it just looks like CW.
Yeah. It just looked like... Now let's see some real vampires.
CW
like,
was
like,
a network.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember that. I remember.
Yeah. For those that don't remember.
Well, cartoons in the morning, 6 a.m.
Yeah.
I would watch Pokemon all the time.
But CW used to have those like...
Like Gossip Girl and
Gossip
so,
Girl
yeah.
and like One Tree Hill.
Charmed. I love Charmed though. Anything with witches.
Charmed was great, but I'm saying like the CGI they have.
Oh
like,
yeah, the magic.
So
yeah, it was just so bad. Like,
it was
so just
bad.
Like, we could do better. Why don't we just throw glitter? Like magic, you know?
I know.
But
the warlocks are like, okay. Okay, and so going back to the film and Sofia Coppola's like
film legacy.
Film legacy, which, by the way, she only has 9 films.
But we're good. That's a legacy. I think just putting something out there and having the courage to do it, regardless of, like, where you come from, whether you're a nepo baby or you come from nothing, regardless, just having that courage to put something out there that you created with your own two hands or you thought of or you wanted to do is powerful. And even if it's received well or negative or whatever praised, you did that, you know?
Yeah. And you could tell right away what does a Sofia Coppola film by her aesthetics, you know, like she has that heavy hand where like she has to imply like Marie Antoinette, you know, like how it was so lavish and like she totally went full. She like...
You feel like you're there.
Exactly. You do feel like you're there. Yeah.
You feel like you're just watching, like you're literally like just like
a
fly on the wall.
Exactly. And like her costume direction too, like Stacey Batat, shout out Stacey Batat. I know you follow Los Angeles Film Club. Let's get you on here. I see you. Anywho, so she does it so well, you know, like the way like she does the research and
fabrication.
She worked with Chanel. Actually, if we go back, Sofia Coppola did an internship with Chanel back in the day before she even started filmmaking. So she was first a fashion girly. And then afterwards, she started doing her whole film, and she started doing Virgin Suicides and stuff. So, but you could see a lot of fashion.
You could see the connection
films.
With it. Yeah.
Until this day, Sofia Coppola has a, I think, like a collaboration with a company called Barry, Barrie. There's kind of like a London chic type of vibe. It's kind of like loungewear, but a set of pajamas, a cashmere pajamas, is $3,000.
Is it really cashmere though? If there's polyester in it, then I was like, it ain't cashmere.
I don't want one line of polyester in
like, we got to make sure that those wools, that the little sheeps are being treated nice. They're being fed, you know, they're not, you know, they're getting shaved when like they want to.
I know. The model of that fashion line is Margaret Qualley, which is... She is an actress. She was in The Maid on Netflix, and she's also married to Jack Antonoff, a music producer who produced stuff for Taylor Swift. I don't know how I know this stuff. I've just seen it.
You just know. But this is fun, though. Like,
Margaret Qualley, like, she... Let me show you who she is.
Yeah, please do. I was just like...
Her.
Aw, she's so pretty. You know what's so funny? That's how I imagined her.
Yeah, right? Like, that's her aesthetic. That's her aesthetic.
It's very... It's soft luxury.
It's exactly
soft
what it is.
Luxury, yes. Because I think that's what perfectly exemplifies like what women are. I think they're very luxurious, and I think, you know, that's why I love, like, just women in general. Power, like, if you're a woman listening, shout out to you. I was like, thank you so much for providing life and, like, just beauty to the world.
Shout out. But look at the prices, dude.
Oh,
Isn't that
yeah.
crazy? Like a fucking shirt. Am I gonna spend that for a shirt? Like,
Wizard
no.
rhinestones.
Give me something,
Oh,
dude. Give me
yeah.
some sparkle. But yeah, like it's handmade.
But it is, you know, they do show their like manufacturing prices, which is actually really good because
Yeah, it's really
I
smart.
think the price is more in the way that they manufacture, they source, and the way that they also like create good, you know, whether maybe it's a little bit more higher because the people working are getting paid fair wages versus like a sweatshop in order,
Oh,
you know,
right.
because I mean, you compare it to like Zara or any other place, like you could get it for cheap, you know,
Right.
where, you know, versus here where it's just like if it's domestically, made and manufactured, then it might be a little bit more, you know.
True.
So I think
Interesting.
they add value with the quality, but then I think even now we were talking about this earlier, how people are very simple nowadays, basic to be
They
another way,
are,
yeah,
yeah.
you know, and that's aesthetic, you know. It used to be looking homeless, but you know,
Homeless is still very
which is
cheap,
good. Well, I mean,
though.
ever since Kanye left or Kanye's ordeal, I think it's
Yeah.
kind of over. You know what I mean?
Because Kanye overrun it, though.
That's why, like,
Yeah.
it's kind of like, I think now I think people want to be their own star of their own reality. You know what I mean? Really, they
Yeah.
want to be the Sarah Jessica Parker, you know,
Right.
but in their own way, in their own little world, you know, and I think that's
Yeah.
beautiful.
It's your own like form of expression, I guess. But yeah, I thought it was pretty cool. I mean, Sophia was first like this fashion girly, and she's still true to her fashionista self. She has a line with Barry, which I think is pretty cool. Like you said, it's soft luxury. But yeah,
Which I enjoy and I really like, and I think that's something that we are missing because, like, I think we think luxury and we think of so much, but then some
right.
like, but then luxury can be so little as well too, you know,
True.
like privacy is a luxury.
Especially these times.
Honestly, I feel like everybody's up in your business.
If it's not everybody, it's like people on the internet or Big Brother, you know. I always think it's
Pigeons,
weird. I always think, oh,
the
yeah, it could be.
pigeons.
I always think it's trippy that there's like cameras on bus stops now. Obviously, it's
They
for
have bus
safety.
stop. I mean, that's
Yeah.
here in LA, and where I'm at, I don't see them.
I gotta move.
Yeah.
No, I see like bus stops, dude, and I see cameras on there. And yeah, it's sure it's for safety, but
Why
it's like
wasn't I notified? Because
exactly.
that's actually against the law. Like, if you're being recorded with that, I mean, technically they could get away with it because it's a sidewalk is public domain. Anyone, like,
Right.
nobody owns it. But if it's on a street that you're on and you weren't informed of it, then you can actually protest it and you can actually
Right.
fight it.
Okay.
So yeah, start the petition,
I'll
girl.
start my petition.
Start pretending with your apartments and be like,
Yeah.
hey, we have this camera.
I know.
Because you could be shitting. What if they come back from the club and you're shitting right there? And they fucking put it on YouTube and, you know, people see you shitting. You know, people wild out here. But
Please don't shit on the street,
please don't
though.
shit on the street.
But speaking about shitting, I have this I have this app, right? I think I mentioned it to you, called the Neighborhood app, and just to understand what goes on in my neighborhood. And this lady, dude, she put up a video because she had like a ring camera outside of her porch. She put a video, see, like, why is this woman defecating in the street? This she There's a car that pulls up by her street. This lady comes out and takes a fucking dump on her street driveway.
What if that lady knew her and, like, you know what
Oh,
I
like some
mean? You know what I
drama?
mean? Like, what if it was like it was targeted? You know what I mean?
Here,
Because I mean,
bitch.
because you never know. Some people are like, if somebody came up to me and be like, hey, I'll pay you $500 to shit on somebody's doorstep, I'd be like, make it a million and yeah,
But
you
what?
know? Because,
But
like I said,
yeah.
nowadays you could literally pay anyone to do anything,
True.
which is kind of sad, but
It
at the
is
same
sad.
time, it's
Everybody's
interesting.
desperate.
But it's interesting. But that's how it is in LA.
Even homeless people are narcissists over here.
But then they're living their best lives because they don't have bills. I'm low-key jealous of that.
Yeah, but then they burn their huts all the time.
Yeah, but I mean, oh,
Why do
maybe
they do
here in
that?
LA.
Dude.
But over there where I live in IE, which they're fun. They have conversations with me. I talk to all the prostitutes on a
I
certain
try to have
street.
conversations with them, but they yell at me and they
Is
tell me
they
like, "Oh,
try
I
to
don't need your pity, bitch."
because they're saving their energy for the rich men. They went
Okay.
that way. Well, you know? But
Yeah.
what if, like, you know, which man comes along and they want you instead of her? Obviously, she missed out on the sale. So, shout out
Shut up. See, I
UK.
was gonna say that. Shout out Germany and UK. We love you. So Sofia Coppola is one of my favorite film directors, and when I saw Priscilla, I was just like, oh my God, it's so
It's super
cool.
glamorous, too. I love
What do
that.
you think of Jacob Elordi as Elvis versus Austin Butler as Elvis Presley? the king?
I think they're both trash. Because I think they're glamorized white men, but that's just my opinion.
Okay.
I wanted to see something different. Like, I mean, I know people really got mad when Ariel was played by Halle Bailey.
Oh, yeah.
But honestly, I didn't even see the difference.
It's a fucking cartoon, though.
Yeah, and it's a cartoon, and like it could be interpreted so many ways. But I really want to see, like, what if they did a Black Elvis? Just randomly, just for the fuck of it. Directed by her. How insanely, like, cracked out would that be?
Very cracked out.
But wouldn't it be interesting and memorable?
It would be interesting. But the thing, Elvis wasn't black, so it'd be like, but you know, a fictional character.
Exactly.
Okay. Elvis did get a lot of inspiration from black people and black people's music.
Exactly. So it could have been good to even touch up on that as well, too.
So you think it was like a conspiracy theory, like he was swatched with a black guy? Maybe he was a black guy and he was swatched.
Like Michael Jackson?
Oh, and he turned, yeah.
Could be. Maybe they're promising. Because I remember, like, actually, I dated a guy who was half black, half white. And she told me he hated Elvis because for that reason, he stole from minorities, from black folk specifically. It's like, speaking of that, it's funny. I actually wore my Elvis socks today. Just for this reason.
Let me see.
See? You see them?
Oh my gosh, yes. They're so good.
I never wore them because ever since he told me that, I was just like, I was so like, no, he's a wrong pair, you know? But at the end of the day, like, I think minorities have more of the power now, and they have more of the recognition now more than ever before. And it's actually more celebrated and wanted versus how it was back then. You know?
Yeah, I see that. People are like more open.
You know, because I think now people are just like, the past is in the past. Like, we can talk about it and we should always talk about it, but it's just more like, if it's going to cause ruckus, then let's not. You know what I mean?
People like to play it safe.
Exactly. Yeah. But then, like, sometimes you have to have the conversation. I was saying this earlier, I think fear is not fear. I think it's fear is just taking accountability.
True.
Which a lot of people can do. And I think that's what's going on in the world, where people are just not able to take accountability for the actions and their own behaviors that they did in the past that they thought they got away with.
Mm-hmm.
But in reality, it's just like, no one is safe. Not to be conspiracy theory, but like, you know.
No,
like,
I understand.
You know, like, people will find the courage to speak out one day, and that one day is today.
And in reality, it really is just common sense.
Exactly.
You know, it's as simple as that.
Exactly. You know? It's just like, treat people nicely, and like, you know, be honest with what you want.
Yeah.
And it's not, and if they say no, okay, ask the next person.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's just going back to basics, basically.
Exactly.
Yeah, true.
Which is fun, right? Because you just realize, life isn't that hard, or anything about
it.
It doesn't have to be hard.
We complicate the shit out of life sometimes,
But then what complicates it too is drugs and alcohol and substances, but they make life fun.
And sometimes we think we're human and we're unstoppable and we can do what the fuck we want, but...
Mind control, Scientology.
Scientology.
Speaking of that, I passed by the church earlier and I was just like, I kind of want to go in there, but I feel I feel like I'm too poor.
No, they take... Do they take
anybody? But then at the same time, I think of Leah Remedy. But, like, I think of her, and I'm just like, bro, why am I going to pay money just to be told all these things I already know?
Like, why am I wasting my time?
Exactly. Yeah. So, it's just like, unless I'm going to get, like, unless I sign a contract and I'm already where I want to be.
Yeah.
What else can you offer me?
Right. But apparently, they make you go through this whole test.
Exactly. Right? I'm like, why?
Right.
It's not school. I finished school already.
Like, bitch, I have therapy.
Like, bro. I was like, as long as you know how to do your taxes, you know how to buy a house. You know how to be a good person. You're good for life.
Well, back in the day, one of the basic fundamentals in life was to learn how to write a check.
I don't even know how to ride a bike.
What?
Yeah. But I want a motorcycle, though.
Oh, my God.
So when life gives you a challenge, think of an even harder challenge and do that one instead.
Wait, let's go back to the bike. How do you not know how to ride a bike?
I grew up in apartments my whole life. I was struggling lower middle class.
I'm sure you had some kind of a pavement or some kind of road.
No. We had a garage. I only learned your training wheels.
You could have taken those training wheels off and just set off into the sunset.
No, nobody wanted to push me.
Aw, I would have pushed you.
Off a cliff?
Yeah, I would have pushed you into the road. Without the cars being around, of course.
No, it's okay. But honestly, I think about it now, where I'm like, if I really wanted to, I could do it now. But they have motorcycle classes.
Yeah.
And I could
learn. But then again, who rides a bike these days?
Person?
People that get run over all the time? Here in LA?
You know how much compensation that is?
Much what?
Compensation.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, if I had to, like, break my arm for, like, 6 months just to get a payout, is that so? Sometimes they do.
That's what they do it. Oh, my God.
But then sometimes, even, too, maybe the driver wants to, you know?
Just...
It goes both ways. The rush of killing someone.
I hate bike drivers like that take the lane and they think they're cars and they like tell me to stop because of they need to pass. I'm like, you're fucking dumb, but sure, go ahead.
No, on my way here, like literally someone was coming off and crashed into me. He had a Audi? Audi. Okay. He had an Audi. And then I was like literally yelling at him. And he got so scared. I took down my phone just to change a song. And I think he thought I took a photo of his car. And he like sped off. And he almost hit another car.
Oh my God.
And I was like, oh, transplant.
Transplant for sure.
Yeah, because like, yeah. LA people are surprisingly nice when it comes, sometimes when it comes to, the it's more the transplants.
The people of Los Angeles care for the city.
Yes.
And they pick up their dog's poop. Exactly. And they don't litter.
Exactly.
The transplants don't give a shit because this is not their home.
Exactly. And they think that like, yeah, someone else is going to do it. But exactly. No. So are you transplants listening? Please go home.
Just be more respectful.
Be more respectful.
If you come from Oregon or if you come from
Stop! Those,
you come from any.
Please don't starve yourself.
Just be more respectful with everybody else because we see you transplants and we know you guys stick out like a sore thumb.
Exactly. You're literally what LA was never.
Exactly. Yeah, I feel
like. Like you guys literally embody like what felt like media portrays LA to be.
Yes.
But LA is so much more cooler. Like,
it's so much more cooler.
We're California sober most of the time.
Which, by the way, let's switch roads here really quick. Let's leave film a little bit. Abandoned. We'll come back to it eventually, but
abandoned.
Just for
what about the viewers who just came for the film?
Just for a brief second,
okay,
because
okay.
Jonathan and I have a background. We both met at a fashion showroom.
Yes,
and we're both like, you know, fashion girlies.
Yes, we definitely had our fair show experiences of helping out stylists, celebrity stylists, nonetheless.
Yes.
Their assistants.
Yes,
we definitely had a lot of like little, you know, pre-released information. You know, we knew when albums were gonna drop. We knew all this information. But we kept it professional.
We never leaked anything. We were just like,
oh, our NDAs were good. They're expired already. We can talk about it. You know, long on. You know, yeah. But style PR, fuck you.
Exactly. Like, go away.
And this is just like also like not even in a way where like fuck you, but it's just more like, guys, do better. Because even as former employees, do better for your employees. Because if you have happy employees, you're gonna have happy clients.
Yeah.
If you have happy clients, you get more money. And you know, like that office was trash. It was so small,
dude.
And so tacky.
Tacky as fuck.
Tacky.
Dude.
Like you need to invest the money into the showroom, something like, or buy a fucking building. You know what I mean? I was like, if you're gonna do LA right and showroom, and especially, and this is even from like criticism from stylists too. Stylists, their assistants. Like, they want the whole experience.
What's the biggest tea that you heard within that showroom? That you were like, oh, fuck,
That Jennifer Lopez is a stylist, were, like, stealing money from her or something?
Oh, they were stealing money from her?
Yeah.
I heard that, too. Should we say the name? No. The stylist's name?
I mean, if you know Jennifer Lopez is a stylist, I mean, she's had the same stylist forever. That's why she looks the same
it's
every
two
single
people.
Time. Yeah.
It's two people.
Two people. Yeah. A man and a woman.
A man and a woman.
We're not going to say names because, you know, that in itself.
We're respectful.
Yeah. We're respectful. But just to say, but even too, now the stylists nowadays, they're boring.
Yeah.
They're so predictable. Yeah. Like, they're like, I mean, I love La Roche and I loved any time his assistants came in, but like, there's nothing that excites me anymore.
Oh my gosh, same. Oh my gosh. Okay, so this is why I wanted to talk about fashion because
we want more avant garde. We need more Alexander McQueen types.
What's going on with fashion, dude?
Everybody's trying to follow Dior type.
Have you seen the Balenciaga Hollywood runaway show?
I don't know. I stopped after the collab with Kim Kardashian and Kanye. I was like, no, it's trash.
Exactly.
I stopped. I was like, the moment when like a big influencer comes into any fashion brand, they kill
it. It's like, it's done.
It's trash.
It's done.
It's trash. And honestly, even luxury goods, I read an article on Business of Fashion saying that a lot of customers that buy luxury are no longer even buying luxury because they're not getting the same quality as before. So you're losing a lot of clientele. So a lot of these luxury clientele are moving to smaller brands that are actually more sustainable and actually have better quality things that actually are worth the value of the price.
It's about quality.
It's all about quality. Yeah. And it's all about even accountability of like, you know, for example, some brands like I work for Kate Spade. Shout out Kate Spade. They're all about women empowerment. You know, even working for under Tapestry. Like Tapestry is actually a company.
And rest in peace.
Exactly, right?
Yeah.
It's just like It's like taking accountability for your action, but also being a leader, being an innovator. Don't be doing everything while everyone else is doing. Like, do something different, do something crazy. Oh, I need to talk about this. Okay, so when I was actually a celebrity stylist and I shot for a couple magazines, one thing that I hated that a lot of the clients I worked with, they wanted to look like somebody else. They wanted a copy, like, oh,
Yeah.
I love what Rihanna did. I want what Rihanna did.
Like they pull up their mood boards and it's
Exactly.
somebody
And it's the
different. Yeah.
same. And then it's just like, girl, I was like, how are you gonna be a Rihanna type, copy Rihanna, but you're fucking Michelle? Like,
Girl.
you know what I mean? Like, I
Yeah.
was like, you, like, Rihanna's a whole vibe, an era, and an idea, a lifestyle.
Right.
And someone's trying to copy that,
You
you're it's
can't.
not gonna
It's not
translate.
gonna,
You
yeah.
gotta find what works for you and listen to your stylist sometimes, because sometimes stylists have ideas. And that's what I hate sometimes too, even too, like when stylists would come in, they would want something crazy for the clients, especially the newer ones. The
Yeah.
assistants would be like, oh, I'm gonna do something crazy, let's do something, you know, creative. But then they get shot down by the head stylist and are just like, nah, let's do the same black, latex, like
Dude,
leather.
I think me and you, when we were both at the fashion showroom during that era, I think the stylist was very praised. It
Yes,
was more
it
than
was
the it was
praised.
more than the celebrity itself and more than the actual designer that created the look,
Exactly.
you
And
know?
that's so sad. Even the designers are coming from actually
It's
all over the
sad,
world.
right?
We had designers from India, from Turkey, Istanbul, and they were getting the praise. Even Michael Singel came to the showroom as well
Oh
too, you know,
yeah.
shout out Michael
But that
Singel.
guy's a fucking crazy dude. He's always on hot water for something. I think the most recent tea I read about this dude was that he hired a model, a very beautiful Asian model.
Obviously. He came
Yeah.
in with, did you see his assistant?
Yeah.
Boy toy.
Really?
Yes! How do you not? If anyone with money comes in with an attractive person,
Yeah.
majority of time it's more it's in an escort.
Oh, wow.
You didn't know that?
No, I was just trying to do my job.
I mean, me too, but like, I
Yeah, of
mean, I
course.
had that thought, but then I was like, I'm gonna dismiss it.
So he hired this really beautiful Asian girl to walk his runway, right? Very beautiful, like, I mean, gorgeous. Features, everything was there. So this girl, so once the photos of the runway came out,
Was it Michael
yeah,
Singel?
once the photos of the runway came out,
He
changed all her features. I don't think it was white. She was more of
But
an
there's another designer that that
Middle
too.
Eastern
Asian. Yeah, yeah,
looking,
yeah,
like not her at all. And then the model came out and she posted videos on her Instagram, like, I don't know why he did this.
Like, why did he
Like,
even contract me in the first place? He wanted her body, not her face.
that's
And that's
fucked
fucked
up.
up. Because, like, women are more than just their bodies.
It's just like a fickle slap in the
And it's such a
face.
misogynistic fucking,
Exactly. And
Fuck
then
him.
it's like, you're not Fendi, you're not Versace. Like, you're just
You're nobody. You know, you pay for people to wear your
sure, you
shit.
dress J-Lo and you dress other couple celebrities and models and here and there,
But they
but
forget you right after that.
you're fucking forgotten, and all you do is quinceañera dresses. Like,
I
chill.
mean, low key, yeah. But I think that's why I liked it. Because we
Yeah.
were a quinceañera every day.
No, yeah, I do see
Fiesta,
it. I do see
salsa,
it. I do see the
quinceañera.
vision. I do see the fantasy and stuff
Yeah.
within his designs, but at the end of the day, it's like
And they're heavy as hell.
they
Like,
are.
if you guys ever get to experience a Michael Singel dress, like, especially the ones that are, like, kind of Dior shaped, like quinceañera shaped, they're heavy as hell.
Right.
Like, they literally weigh tons. Like,
Yeah.
it's a strain on the model, on the person who wears it.
It's a full-time job.
Yeah, and
Yeah.
honestly, it's funny because I feel like if I think J.Lo wore one of his, like, the heavy dresses, and it kind of, like, shortened her. It made her, like, stumpy. But she wanted it, but I was like, all right.
She didn't look that great, huh?
I mean,
Who's your fashion icon right now that you're like,
myself.
wow. Okay. Spoken from a true Leo here.
Because, like I said, no one can do me like I can do me. And then every
Yeah.
single time I wear something, I see someone else trying to copy it.
That's good.
And then, like, I don't know
And
if
to
my.
be honest with you, like, you do, like, since I first saw you, like, your threads, the way you put them together,
It's all thrifted too.
and the fact that you told me one day that you're like, they're all thrifted, I was like, wow, you have a skill to put these stuff together. Because sometimes I go to the thrift store and I'm like, I'm lost.
Oh
Like,
no,
what goes
here,
together?
LA thrift stores are trash. They're overpriced. Their leading majority of it is Shein.
Sheen.
Shein. If you really want to go to good places, go to the OG filming place, which is Pomona in downtown Pomona.
That's
They
where you gotta go.
have authentic vintage stuff
Do you really want to
from.
reveal all your secrets?
Yes, actually, I can airdrop anybody who's interested. Ego's IE thrifting guide. Because in the end, at the end of the day, like, a lot of these vintage stores and even thrift shops are actually giving some of their commission to the community that they help, so that they help single mothers, domestic
Right.
violence victims, cancer victims. So at the end of the day, buy from a brand that makes a difference. You
That makes
know,
an actual
yeah,
difference and actually
exactly.
helps the
Helps
planet.
out the planet, even with the
Which,
people.
by the way, Crush Fashion Studio is great and they're on Etsy, so check them out.
Yes. Can you describe what Crush is?
So Crush Fashion Studio is something that I started, and it's a little side job that I have. I've told
Okay,
you.
let's get to what let's get to the good part. What is Crush? What do you sell?
It's a lot of vintage pieces, and it's designer vintage pieces. And some of them are contemporary pieces, but they're great contemporary pieces, not worn heavily.
As in, she goes to the estate sales from the rich people who hardly ever
I go to the
wear it.
rich people's estate sales here in Hollywood, and I hunt for really good shit to bring to you guys. So if you guys ever in need for some really cool, like, eye-popping pieces for the New Year's Eve,
Be that
actually,
girl, be that
be
guy.
that girl and be that guy, dude. Crush Fashion Studio on Etsy.
The link's gonna be in the bio or wherever. Wherever you can add it.
Yeah.
But please do honestly, like I said, Virginia and I, we literally met from the love of fashion. We
Yeah.
both ended up at this place, at this awful place. We both agreed it was awful, but we stayed because we felt like it was gonna be a stepping stone to something else.
Yeah, and also, like, we both love the artistry within fashion,
Exactly.
and
It's not just a
I
look.
feel like these people, though, that run these places,
All about money.
they know that people like us are gullible, and they're like, oh, these people know that they're gonna try to go somewhere, so we could, like, use them for that, for their
Overwork
passion,
them.
overwork them because they have that passion and they want to get somewhere. So let's take the most we can do out of them, and let's just use them, you
And then
know?
you go back to if you go visit now, and I think last time I updated, even I keep in touch with some coworkers. I think like one of Chrisanta, I love you, Chrisanta.
Chat.
And I think about it now and I see where everybody else, I mean Todd's in NBC now.
Todd?
Yes, Todd.
He's a what?
He's in NBC.
He is?
Yes!
Oh, I never liked Todd.
I like Todd because he was like low key, like okay, he was like that bitchy Latino that they didn't want to claim a Latino when he was only, but it was convenient for him.
Exactly. That's why I
You
didn't
know
like
what I mean?
him.
But that's
That's why I
why,
didn't like that fucking
but I
guy.
like the because in the end, like okay, we can claim our ethnicity, but then that only puts us in a bubble.
So
I
that means that I should have been a gay man in the fashion industry.
I
I
didn't
would
do
have gone
shit with him. I
somewhere.
told him no. I was
You
like.
told him no? Wait, he
I mean,
approached
no,
you?
not like that. I told him
Okay.
no when he wanted to fire you and put me into.
That was like.
Also, that's what happens in LA too. Like literally, that Devil Wears Prada shit. Like that shit actually
So
happens.
I was in this rental department working for
Totally
like
separate
a
office,
totally separate
across
office
from our the main one.
across from the main office, the main showroom, and it was a rental department where like it catered to music industry and fashion, film and whatever.
Basically anyone who had money can like go
Yeah.
there.
So Antonio had told me, like, you can run this department, you can do whatever you want with it, whatever. And I always thought I was doing a pretty fair job. And there was a bitch named Myrna who always gave me the hardest time, which I knew that I was doing a good job. And but it's one of those jobs where
But
like
then she's Filipino. You know how they are. They're very blunt.
fuck her, I don't care about her. Anyway, so then there was always things up in the air where I always felt like, I wonder if I'm doing a good job or not, you know, because I never got confirmation. And then
They weren't like that.
when they just laid everybody off during COVID, and then when you called me and you're
You're
like,
the first person I called.
you're the first person you called, I was the first person you called me, and you're like, hey, don't feel too bad because they're gonna offer me your job. And that's when I was like, oh, okay, well, the feelings I had of like, am I doing a good job were true.
No, because you were doing a good job. Because even like I wouldn't even
Thank
say
you.
like I saw how much you helped. Because like I said, working in just in general. Because like the main office, we would give pieces out for free. We just ask tag and post. But for you actually had to sell. And
Yeah.
a lot of people here in LA they're cheap.
They're very
They don't
cheap.
have budgets. A lot of these artists and famous people, they don't give money to their stylists. A lot of times, sometimes it's like record labels who hire them and give like $100 because they think that they could get the
Dude,
most.
there was this one time where this one lady came in, some stylist, and she's like, hey, I would like to rent these two dresses or whatever, but I need them by a certain time or whatever. And I told Antonio, Antonio's like, tell her she could have them and she could bring $3,000 today. And that was like weird and really out of pocket, but I was like, I'm gonna fucking get that. And I was like, he said 3,000 by today, if that's okay. And she's like, let me see what I can do. She left. She came back with the money and I gave it to Antonio. Did he ever
Was it
say
cash?
it was cash? That motherfucker was
I
counting
feel like I
money.
was.
Did I get anything from that?
No.
No. Did he ever say even a good job?
No.
No. So I was wondering, like,
You did your job.
I was wondering, like, I wonder if that was good enough for him, you know? So the thing about you managers out there that are listening or whatever, a good job goes a long way to an employee. Like, if you can offer anything like money or bonuses or any of that, just a
Appreciation.
fucking pat on the back goes a long way. Trust, you
Exactly.
know? So that's all I wanted, and that's all like I seeked, because I knew that I wasn't getting anything from that. And I thought, like, maybe this could validate me. And he didn't say shit. He was just counting his money.
But he was a Gemini. What do you expect? He had his own issue. He was so insecure. He literally hated the fact that Christian was too nice to him because he didn't believe him. Yeah. He didn't, and then he
I was surprised that Christian went a long way, too, though. Because I didn't really see, like, I saw the kiss ass in him big time. Did I see the talons in him?
No.
No. Basic you tell me. Exactly.
And I was like, I love Pri more. Pri Lee got along with everybody. Pri, shout out Pri, I love
Pri
you,
Pri. Was the best.
Hey, but she knows, she's in New York now.
She is.
She looks for L'Oreal.
I knew it.
Right? See, like I said, yeah. We all ended up where we're meant to be.
Yeah.
Some people end up having to be their own bosses, and some people, you know.
Right.
Like I said, look at us now.
You know, it'd be great if we could all just get together.
Honestly, I really want that.
That'd be great.
I really do want that. Because, like, honestly, like, I think we're all in the same boat. Well, we all experienced the same thing. We just didn't say anything. But some people kept in touch more than others.
Yes.
But, like, you know, like, I'm more than happy to, like, let's all fly to New York.
That'd be great.
Let's go visit Pri.
Let's go.
Yeah, you know, in fact, like, you know, moments like that were, like, regardless, even of the shitty situation.
She was so professional. I loved
her. Yes, I loved her so much. She was always so happy, too.
Yeah.
But then she was always so real. She was just, like, but just know that, like, know how to play the game. Don't let it play you.
Yeah.
Like, in a sense where, like, kiss ass when you need to, but also stand your ground. And if people respond in a negative way, just leave. I was like,
yeah.
Like, even if you don't have anything lined up, leave. Because, right. Like, do not sacrifice your morals. Do not sacrifice your own self for right. anything or anyone else, especially.
Not anymore. Yeah.
Yeah, because I did so many, like, pro bono stuff. I got credited in magazines, but even then, I got jobs and opportunities hidden from me because my boss at the time didn't want to tell me. Because you
want
to tell
me. I think because people know that you're talented and they want to keep you in this
exactly.
bubble.
Exactly.
And they don't want you to expand.
If you guys ever seen Neon Demon, which is also a good-ass movie, it definitely shows like the darkness of also Hollywood, the glamour, but also how quick and easy people can get forgotten.
Neon
it
Demon.
It literally is so quick to like...
Yeah.
You know, and if you let that affect you, then leave. I was like,
yeah.
Like, you know, like, if you can't stand your own 2 feet and you can't fight for what you believe in, then no. Right. I was like, then leave. I was like, you're not going to make it here.
Right. Stick your ground.
Stick your ground.
All right. So that was our fashion...
Moments. Our own little industry moments.
Going back to film, I asked Jonathan to pick a film that really influenced him and has really stuck with him throughout his lifetime. And you picked?
Party Monster. And surprisingly, this film was actually recommended by Virginia. Because Virginia has always been like a big sister to me. Like, she's definitely like... When you think of Virginia, I think like she literally... Like, she's not the goth that you think she is. Because remember, even though she wears all black, black is a combination of all colors. She's basically a rainbow. I always like to say she's my
so
rainbow.
Sweet.
But yes, Party Monster. Let's get into it.
Party Monster, thank you so much for that little lovely intro. You're like a brother to me too. Mm-hmm. And I love you and I'll never ever forget you. And
unless
thank
you die, then you forget me.
I died?
Unless you die and you forget me.
I'll come back and haunt you.
How would I know it's you though?
I'll do something that, like, I'll steal all your poppers and you'll be like, Virginia.
Stop! I was like, I get a new bottle and it's all gone.
Yes. That's when you know it's me.
But this is actually a perfect segue into the
it
movie.
Is. So Party Monster 2003, so early 2000s, yeah. Y2K, as
yes,
they say.
Yes, it came out.
And it was produced by Fenton Fox Bailey and Randy Barbato, which also produced 2009's Drag Race, mm-hmm. which is very fitting, right?
Right, because honestly, like, the movie itself is very queer, but you forget that it's queer because it's not so queer.
Right, because it's based on a true story.
Exactly. And,
yeah.
and the whole club kid scene, which we're going to get into right now, I'll let you finish that.
There's so many iconic looks.
Right, and because in the end, I think it's funny because I always think back to the actual interview with, I forgot who, I think it was Maury or, I don't know, someone. They went on, it was in those old 80s TV shows, talk shows, daytime shows or whatever, and Michael, who was actually like the reason why the movie was created, he was basically talking about the club kid scene, and he basically said it's a place for any outcast, anyone who's different, anyone who's been neglected or pushed aside to come out and be the most, let your freak flag fly, you know, like
right.
the OG creator of that, which I really respect. I mean, him as a person, psycho, but you know, besides that, like, you know, it definitely even though it took place in New York, we can see a lot of influence that it had in not only the club scene here in LA, but how drugs and just the lifestyle of that fast-paced kind of aesthetic was.
Right. So Michael, like you mentioned, Michael Alec is the film was based on this character, which is a true story, and it was based on, like you said, the club scene of New York City in the 80s. And basically, Michael Aglik was played and portrayed by Macaulay Culkin, right?
Iconic.
Iconic. Which, by the way, Macaulay Culkin just got his Hollywood
I know he
star.
was with Brenda Song, which I know a lot of people are just like, that combination is so weird, but then it
Yeah,
works.
it
And they're so
does
cute. They're so
work.
sweet together.
They're so cute. And like his speech.
I didn't get to hear the speech, but didn't the mom from Home Alone was there?
I'm not too sure.
He said something about her, didn't he? I saw something briefly about social media, but I saw he got the star.
Yeah, but his speech was very
Okay,
tearful.
what did he say?
Well, he just said, like, he basically talked to Brenda Song, and he's like, "Thanks for sticking with me and to all of my crazy faces and stuff." And that was so sweet because he has
Yeah, drug past.
a drug past, and not only that, but he was with Mila Kunis for a long time.
Oh, he
And
was? I didn't know
yeah, remember,
that.
you know that? He was with Mila Kunis a long time, and then when she left him, he was seen really skinny and like almost like he went back to drugs. And everybody was talking, like, all the tabloids were like, he's done, he's ended, and like his career's done, and all that stuff. And the fact that he got a Hollywood star, which kind of surprising because it's like, come on, Home Alone 2
I know,
is
but after all these years, I thought he would have gotten
exactly.
it when he was a kid or something. He could have been
Exactly.
like the, actually, no, I think Shirley Temple's the youngest one who has it.
Shirley Temple, right, which is just a different story.
Fuck that
She's a
bitch.
crazy little bitch for sure.
Yeah.
But
Oh, a
any.
drink named after her.
But yeah, like I thought that it was very touching, and not only that, but like yeah, like you said, it's crazy that he's just got a star and his Hollywood star, which is
It's long overdue.
it's long overdue, yeah.
But I think he definitely reminds me. What I love about him, it's like, I think he's like, kind of like a male version of like the Lindsay Lohan or the Amanda Bynes,
Right.
where a child star, you
Right.
know, peaked really high, loved and adored by all, which is something we actually talked about earlier. Like, you know, when we don't us too personally, we don't know what it's like to be very like, you know, have that pressure, you know, especially at a young age. But we are starting to understand it with the viewers and the listeners, you
Right.
know, like. We have a responsibility to you to be honest and authentic and be
Right.
real because, you know, that's something that's missing. And
Right.
I think when you're in the public eye, it's hard to do that. It's hard to be
Oh, for
genuine.
sure.
You always want
Yeah.
to hide something, but
Yeah.
in the end, when you realize that you really have nothing to hide, I mean,
Yeah.
nothing really comes shocking anymore.
The world is so fucked up that it's like whatever you do, it's like not that bad.
Yeah, it's just like, oh, you finally knowing that you did that? Okay, cool.
Yeah.
You know, because at the end of the day, like, people are very selfish. At the end of the day, they're just like, it doesn't affect me. All right, cool. I don't have to spend money. All right.
So Michael Alec, this film was based on this character named Michael Alec, portrayed by Macaulay Culkin. Michael Alec actually run with the Club Kid scene with RuPaul, James St. James, Julie Jules, DJ Keoki, and Ernie Glam, and in the late 80s, throughout the late 90s, and also included Amanda Lepore, which she's also in the movie, which is
Brief little
interesting.
cameo.
A brief little cameo,
They
correct?
shot her and then like,
Yeah.
They probably couldn't afford her budget. That's why they only had that 1 second.
True.
Because I mean, she's worth every penny.
I know. So this actual guy, Michael Alec, he actually served time in prison, 17 years in prison, dude, for killing
Drug
his
dealer.
drug dealer, which was portrayed by, which is the
Angel.
angel guy who you see throughout the film
Yes.
appear as an angel, as an actual angel.
Yeah, because like he wanted to kind of. He, I guess in the film, Michael, I mean, in real life, Michael saw him and he kept on constantly rejecting them. He was like, you're never gonna be like us and all that. He was like the outcast. He was like a, I believe he was like Puerto Rican, Latin mix, kind of, you know? But he kept on constantly, and he basically was using Angel for the drugs, obviously, you know? Like, Michael didn't have any money of his own. He just had his talent. But in the end, unfortunately, he ended up killing his drug dealer Angel because Angel ended up cutting him off. And as you know, we know from any if you've ever experienced like you know someone with like withdrawal symptoms, they tend to you know act out and act crazy and all that stuff. And if just anyone under influence can act very crazy, but it also can be controlled, you know, depending on how you use it.
So, as far as like the movie Party Monster, what was it about this film that you gravitated towards that speaks to you, that like overall that connects with your life?
I think it's not giving a fuck. And I think that's something that I learned from you as well too, Virginia, is that like I'm 26 right now, but it took me so long to I think I tend to care so much about what not what people think, but more like how people feel. I want to make people feel comfortable. I never want people to feel any uncomfortable or any situation, but then in doing that, I acknowledge that I was doing myself like a detriment where I wasn't being able to express myself authentically, but only to realize that like by being just myself and not really caring, by owning all my, you know, people can say battle scars or whatever, trauma, you really get control and power over your own life. Because, like, you know, I have my own fair run-in with substance abuse. You know, what I appreciate about this movie, especially, was that they owned it. Mm-hmm. They owned who they were, regardless of you know, the amount of drugs they're doing or the kind of wrong that they're doing. They kind of took accountability for them, their actions. Right. And then AJ ended up working out where he ended up serving time. Mm-hmm. You know, unfortunately, someone had to die. But, like, at the end of the day, you know, it just worked out. Because, right. And then, like, I mean, look at him now. Like, he's still, mm-hmm. like, that moment was pivotal, not only in, you know, New York club scene, but just in general, you know, right. I mean, with the rise of drug use nowadays with and everything, you know, people become more fearful of it when in reality, maybe it's presented to us because it's an opportunity to learn something about ourselves, you know, and that's something that I learned, you know, going on psychedelic trips and realizing that, like, we're all interconnected, you know, when I remember when I did shrooms for the first time, I was alone in my room, I did like 3.5 grams.
Wow.
A lot. Called my ex-boyfriend. I called my ex-boyfriend and told him.
That's when, like, you know it's bad.
That's when you know it's bad. Not even that, but that's, I called him to tell him I forgave him.
Wow.
I told him, like, I'm willing to take you back and I love you and I'm sorry for everything that I did to you. I took accountability for my actions. And I told him, I was like, I'm willing to take you back. I love you. And
did he receive it?
He didn't even reply, you know, unfortunately. But I told him, I was like, I forgive you. And I feel like I might die right now, but I want to let you know that if in case I do.
Oh my God, stop.
Yeah, because I felt like I was going to die. Like, because when you're on a lot of substances, you feel like you feel on top of the world, but then you're just like, am I the world? Like, you know?
Is it a contentment kind of like dying, or is it like a sad dying?
It's more like a happiness where I'm like, I died with no regrets.
Wow.
And that's something I try to live by always. The one thing I always remember when I would do shrooms, life is like a cycle. So, like, you know, if you follow moon cycles, you follow seasons, we're constantly being reborn and dying constantly, always. We're constantly reinventing ourselves. And it's that consistency that we forget to acknowledge, because I think we're always so caught up with comparing ourselves with other people.
With the
or
real world.
With the real world. Mm-hmm. Or, like, what is seen as healthy, what is seen as good, what is seen as bad. But in reality, the greatest blessing and the greatest power you have is to own yourself, to own your life, to own your responsibilities, your choices, and never allow anything to tie you down. My father always told me, never allow anything or anyone to control you. Aww. And it's that kind of dark comedy and that sweet also kiss of death, where it's just like, if I were to die right now, it wouldn't be so bad.
Yes, it would.
It wouldn't. For other people around me, but for me, it wouldn't.
Because do you think that's kind of a selfish way of thinking, though?
No. Because in the end, if you're so concerned about yourself, you don't involve yourself in other people's situations to the point where it won't, you know what I mean? And I always like to say, if I didn't die from those two times, and even after all that, I meant to do something bigger. And it made me realize my own role and my responsibility to not myself, my family, but just everyone around me.
Right.
And it made me value my life a lot more. You know, it's like you have to lose yourself a lot in order for you to find yourself. And I definitely found myself now, and I'm really excited.
I do see you in a different light, and I don't see you as insecure or like, although you are still very young, you still have that like presence, you know, and I don't know, like, I don't want to see you that way, and I care for you.
Yeah, like, but like I said, like, you know, those days are over. I needed to go through that in order for me to understand what people go through alone also.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, you know, because if you think about it, like a homeless person ODing on the street, that could be someone's father, mother, daughter, you know, like, we have to think about it that way. So that's why I always carry Narcan with me. I know how to do hands-only CPR. And it's because of those moments where I felt helpless for myself that allowed me to train and be prepared for other people.
Right.
You know? Mm-hmm. So I didn't see, like I said, this movie really empowered me. Like, you in general, just you in my life has empowered me. Because, like, I see how you are, where you're just like, you know, like, I don't give a fuck attitude. Because you, like, your aesthetic, you stick out like a sore thumb in a good way.
Like, in
the best way possible, to the point where I'm pretty sure people look at you, not, they don't look at you with judgment. They look at you like, I'm so proud of that girl. Like, I wish I could do that. I wish I had her confidence.
I don't know.
Because sometimes, because like I said, sometimes people misinterpret like looks for bad, but sometimes it's a good thing. You know what I mean? Like, consider, what if the people weren't laughing at you? What if they were laughing because they were just like, you remind them of someone or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think at this point, I really don't care.
Yeah,
You know?
but regardless, you know, you matter to people in a way, even if people never tell you. I'm pretty sure the stranger, when you get all dressed up and y'all are black. I remember when we were gonna go get brunch and you're all black and you're sweating, and I told you I
I was
love you.
sweating.
I was like, yeah, because you're like, it's fucking hot. We went out in the
Oh,
summer.
because we were sitting in the sun.
Yeah, and then I
What
told
the
you, and I told
fuck?
you, I was like, well, you weren't all black, but I love your commitment. And that in
I
itself,
know.
and that in itself is power because,
You
you're
remember my
so
sweaty face? You're like, oh,
not
everybody's
even that. I just remember you said it's fucking hot. I remember you saying that. We were drinking our
It was
mimosas,
supposed to be nice and cool. What the fuck? You
but it's
know?
LA. What do you think?
I
There's
know.
smog.
True.
Also, there's smog
True.
here. But one,
True.
I think we're the second most pollute, like the
Oh,
most
yeah.
polluted
It's
cities.
horrible.
Yeah.
There's like a shit map now out
Really?
there. Yeah, there's a shit map, dude.
What do you mean a shit map? Like
Okay,
where people shit?
there's a map that includes feces, and it's all LA, and it's actually brown, and it's like the sewage, dude. It's fucking
Girl, you
horrible,
need to move.
and it's like all it's homelessness. It's like people encampments, and they showed it to Newsom, and Newsom was like laughing about it, like, and I don't know what the fuck's going on, but there's a shit map out
Yeah,
here.
like only come to visit, be respectful. If you come to live it,
Just know that you need to be like somewhat of a masochist.
yeah. But also, if you're gonna come here to change the world with your talent or whatever it may be, make sure that you're actually helping the community around it.
Yeah.
You know, because like if you can sing, you know, sing
Yeah.
and share some of the profits with the homeless people, you know, like, you know, do your part,
Just
you
give
know,
back in
give
some
back,
way.
exactly,
Yeah.
give back in some way, and not by like raffling off a fucking bag or something. Like that's
Yeah.
stupid. Like,
I really care for the animals here in the
oh
city, and
yes, women.
I get really distraught when I see even roadkill or and over here it's like left and right, and there's no respect for human beings and for animals. They get the worst treatment. So I eventually want, if this podcast reaches some type of subscription and I get some kind of sponsorship, I would love all my sponsors to be animal sponsors and to help adoption centers and as well with Crush Fashion Studio. So that's where my heart is with the animals because I don't know,
They can't speak
humans,
for
they can't speak
themselves.
for themselves. And like humans, I feel like they have more tools, you know, and they're able to move, they're able to speak. But animals, it's just like, it just
They're just
bugs me
unconditional
out.
love.
Yeah.
Animals give you, show you that love comes from actions, not from words.
Yeah, exactly. And they accept you the way you are, and like, they're angels.
Also, emotional support animals, very real. You know?
Yeah, they're all emotional support, even though they're not
License,
licensed.
you don't even, in California,
Yeah,
you don't even need them licensed. You don't need it.
exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of laws and regulations that are literally passing that are literally trying to reduce the numbers of strays in the city as well too. So there is change
Okay.
happening. But please, like, if you adopt, just know that it's a responsibility for life, for their life. You know,
Yeah.
like, be responsible and take accountability for it. Don't adopt a dog just because it's trendy, you
Especially
know?
now in the holidays, people want to adopt dogs
Yes.
to do the right thing for the
Oh yeah.
holidays, but then like the new year comes and they're like, I can't, I have to rehome him.
Exactly. No, don't do
Don't do
that.
that.
Don't do
Just
that.
don't adopt him.
Exactly. Just get a fucking fish.
Just get a fish, dude.
You know, get a
Exactly.
fish. Get a pet rock.
Yeah, exactly.
I was like, just get someone on the side. You're just
Get a
lonely.
snake.
You know? Yeah, get a snake. Oh. Actually, no,
No.
something turtle. It's hard for
Turtles,
turtles to
yeah.
die.
Okay, get a fucking turtle.
You know, but like things like that were like, you know, just like go to therapy actually.
Exactly,
Actually that's
yes.
what you need, you know.
Exactly.
It's
Therapy
like it's
works.
like if you're lonely, if you have suicidal thoughts or anxiety or whatever, and you're thinking of adopting a pet, don't do that. Don't do
Yeah,
that.
don't
Don't
do that.
cause the animal more anxiety and stress than it already has.
Exactly.
You know, animals are innocent.
They are.
Like they just want food and be loved, you know.
Yeah.
But just go to therapy. There's a lot of free resources out
Exactly.
there.
So going back to the film, and I asked you like, how do you relate to this film? And you gave a really crazy,
In depth.
in-depth, detailed, prolific explanation. I also want to know like what character you related to in this film, and what were some of the scenes that really stuck to you?
I think Michael most I definitely resonate with most with him
Macaulay Culkin.
because I think he generally didn't think that he did anything bad. And I think that's the way I thought too, where it's just like, you know, with the whole thing with my ex-boyfriend and feeling like trying to prove to myself and the world that I'm a good person without realizing that I need to prove it to myself first. And I think that's
Right.
something he did. And even Michael grew up in a small, I think he came up from a small nowhere, I think like Alabama or something, like a southern
Right,
state,
small town.
you know, small town. He ran away to the big city, which most people do, just to get away from all the abuse and all that stuff. And not to say that was abuse either, but like, but it's more like, I think I was more abusing myself, you know? And I think that's one thing that, like, when you have that kind of magic key or golden key where you have an opportunity where you could just get high every day and not have to pay for anything, or just like people like to be around you, just be around, you know, like I definitely felt that. But you know, and even too, sometimes, you know, worrying about like dating someone with schizophrenia and has already suicidal thoughts and ending it with him feeling like if he were to die or kill himself because of me, I would feel guilty. Feeling that, you know, it's the same kind of weight of the world on my shoulders. But at the end, realizing that anything outside of myself is outside of my control. If anyone wants to harm themselves but then blame me, that's not necessarily a valid excuse, because in the end, I wasn't the one holding the blade, you know? But in this situation, he dead ass really actually killed them. He chopped them up in pieces. He actually kept them in a box for like a couple of days until it started to smell.
Yeah,
You know, but that was very psychotic, you
that was
know.
very psychotic.
But then you get to
But
see,
he was under
like,
the influence, right?
exactly. He was always on, he was constantly on the high, constantly chasing it. And a lot of times when you're on that high, you definitely have to deal with a lot of your own demons. Not only if you believe in reincarnation and past lives, you definitely tend to get a lot of that generational trauma as well too. Like when I was under the influence, I started seeing all the things that, you know, like taboos and the hush hush things that, you know, I maybe kept away or repressed for so long come up to the surface. And I'm just like, where'd that come from? Did that really happen? What is real, you know? And I think the only way through it is, you know, just experience it and reminding it
Dissect it
and dissect it and
and
remembering that, you know, your mind is powerful, but then you're also in control of it, you know? It definitely taught me a lot. And just in general, like I said, Michael really stood out to me because, like, he was very forward-thinking in his innovation and what he wanted for anyone. At the end of the day, he wanted a place for misfits. He wanted a place for someone he felt like, well, like, deserved it or needed it, you know? Because in the end, like, especially the queer community in the 80s, 90s, when the whole AIDS epidemic happened, even nowadays, you know, like, with the homeless and transgender lives and everything, you know, people getting kicked out and discriminated against, like, it's hard to find. It's especially hard when your own family turns on you and then you're trying to find your place in the world. But to have a place where it gives you everything, I can understand where, like, he's a bad guy for what he did for the action, but then it didn't start out that way, you know?
That's what I liked about the film too. Like, I liked the way that there were like this group of misfits and like,
They were the most craziest thing.
yeah, they all kind of stuck together and they all like made this really amazing, like lavish parties. And it was like an escape from the real world, you know, and like you just go off to this crazy made up world, but in a way it's so real because it's ours. I love that Marilyn Manson cameo, him as a blonde and the school bus driver and Amanda Lepore, like it was such a cool film. It was like really intense, and the fact that it was when you see it and when you're like into it and stuff, you don't realize it's a true story until like you read after it and you read about it and you're like, oh shit, it's a true fucking story. That's crazy.
But then what's beautiful about it too, I think the director and the writers, and even like, well, the writer is James M. James, I believe, same James and Michael as well too. Just in general, like when you think about it, like when you're under the influence, that's actually how you see the world. Like you see it, like you see like shadows, you see like you hear things, and it's very over dramatized. You know, you're very, you know, become very sensitive to the world. But I like it. And he asked another question about so who I related to, and then what was the last one?
What was the character related to, and what scene was the scene that you were like, oh my God, that really got to you?
I think when Seth Green's character James St. James was literally under the, he wanted to smoke and because he wanted to find inspiration, and then he literally had this whole delusion and he wrote this whole book and it was a masterpiece and it just never was written. I think that's definitely how it was too, where I even use the excuse where I'm just like, well, you know, weed helps me concentrate, you know, but you know it doesn't in an extent. But then, you know, you have to discipline yourself in that, you know, or you can do what you want to do, but as long as you get your stuff done and you use it for the, because you know sometimes, you know, a cup of coffee and a blunt is kind of the same thing, you know, it gets you energy, gets you going, you know, and whatever, pick your poison, whatever works for you works for you. Just, you know, try not to impose it on anybody and just, you know, use it responsibly, you know, don't carry more than. Do the research on your state's local, like, municipal code on what it is, so you can technically live in it. You respect it, but you don't, you know, like, you don't violated.
Yeah, this is what I like about you. You're also like a very smart rebel. Like, you know your
My
rules,
role,
and you know,
I stay
like,
within them, but then I use it to my benefit. No one is crazy.
yeah,
Everybody is valid for what they believe in.
right,
You know?
yeah. Nobody's really judgmental anymore.
Exactly.
It's like everybody.
And then people can
You want to
add.
be a woman? Go for it. You want to be a dude? Go for
You
it.
could be like, I could say like, you know, I'm a man, but I feel like a woman. Who's to say why can't we call women men and men women?
Nobody can question that anymore.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But then we forget that like there's also these mentalities like androgyny, which I like to live by, you know, instead of picking non-binary, because non-binary sounds so scientific and science and you know sciencey, and I'm like, I don't like that. I like androgyny is fun, you know, like,
Yeah.
which is like you don't have to pick a side, you just pick both.
Yeah, you're just both. The best of both
Yeah,
worlds.
exactly. You like what you like, and you know.
Yeah. I get that. What about like series? Like, are you watching anything now that you're into?
I'm watching a lot anime more.
Okay.
So I recently started watching How to Pick Up a Girl in a Dungeon.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's so interesting
Is that
because
through Crunchyroll or Netflix?
it's actually through Hulu.
Oh,
But I
okay.
believe there are actually, you know, any anime places anywhere. But I've been actually leaning more towards animation to kind of fulfill that inner child need. But also, like, a lot of like animation come from Japan, Korea, or any Asian country. And it's so fascinating to see how they really have an influence, or how European culture has an influence on them. So the whole show that I'm watching currently, they talk. So basically, it's like a whole like the whole world, fantasy world, and there's this dungeon where like adventurers go to fight battles and stuff. But they report to their gods and goddesses. So there's a goddess Hestia, which is this big like little small little petite girl with the busty boobs and shit. And it's
Of
obviously
course.
very anime, but it's so funny to see the character, his growth, where like. You know, he was basically touched by a god who had that blessing, and you see how like, you know, how the gods, and the whole thing is that the gods came down and they're living with the human beings. They're living amongst them, but they have their own kind of like tribes, and each
Oh,
one
wow.
brings something, each one based on the god's personality brings something different. So like Hestia, she's the most like she basically needs to get her life together, you know, like, but you see her willingness to provide for her one supporter. You know what I mean? And then I think that's beautiful, but then you see like you see the Loki tribe. And the Loki's actually a woman in the series, which is actually really fun.
So what's the name of the series again?
How to Pick Up a Girl in a Dungeon.
Oh, wow,
And
okay.
it's super fun, it's super fantasy, super anime.
It's on Hulu.
It's on Hulu. It's I believe in that country role too, but Dr. Stone also really good. Like I said, anime adult animation is the future. I think it doesn't kind of we're talking about CGI, how CGI kills movies, like real movies nowadays. I think animation and like anime in general just allows that whimsy that we all want to see, but actually can imagine. You know what I mean? Because when you think of
Right.
imagination, you think of like rainbows, unicorns, you think of like made up
Like
things.
sci-fi
You know,
shit. Yeah.
But then who's to say the sci-fi shit isn't real?
Right.
You know?
I think the last animation scenario I got into was Wicked City. It's a 1978 film. It's
Haven't
really
seen it
good.
yet.
It's like
Wicked City.
it's really cool. It has like this girl that turns into a spider and like she seduces this dude, and it's very like it has like this really cool artistic vibe to it. Like very flashy. But
But
I
it
like
opens
it.
your
It
mind.
does.
It opens a conversation where it's just like, you know, like if somebody imagined that, and if you imagine that too, are you alone? You know, not so
You know
much.
what's funny too? Like a lot of people that I've met that are in their 20s, that aren't around your age range, 26, 25, I ask them, like, what are you into? What shows are you watching? They all say anime. That's crazy.
It's because I think nowadays anything that's like by a big network is very scripted. I think they try to play that diversity card too much to the point where it takes away from the actual diversity and what the messages are
So
trying to
you think it's
convey.
trying too hard?
It is. It's kind of like we were talking about like very CW. You know
Gotcha.
what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just like after school special, or you know,
Yeah.
like this and this and this. This is the struggle that the character is going through, and this is how they the solution, or this is how it should be the solution,
Right.
instead of you know presenting all the options that could happen. There were
Right.
I always like to say I'd rather watch something with a worst case scenario and that makes me cringe and uncomfortable, and you know has no resolution, than something that has a resolution, because that way it lets you think of that one didn't have an answer. What it will how would I answer to it, you know?
Yeah, that's probably the best scenario though for a watcher, I think, you know, because it leaves you hanging with like you make up the answer, like you find out like what best
Based on that,
fits the scenario based on the story. Yeah, I agree with you on that. Wow, interesting. I feel like maybe the world of anime is going to take over soon, you know?
But then you also see 3D animation, and you see AI, and then you see like the rise of
AI,
Lazo too.
yeah.
But I feel like I always like, oh, there was a quote that I said or I saw. AI is 80% computer and 20% human. Because without computers and without human beings, we were never gonna be able to get that combination of what's really going on currently, you know?
Right.
Because we do depend a lot on technology, but technology has connected us so much ever than ever before. I mean, like I
Yeah.
said, this podcast reaches other countries, you know? So
Right.
like, thank you guys for listening, you know? Like, you know, please, you know, continue being yourselves, continue supporting us, like Virginia, like supporting yourselves, supporting the community around you, be the change you wish to see in the world. Because it really is possible. We really have more power than we think we do.
I think so too. And sometimes we have power to destruct things and fuck up things, you
Exactly. But
know?
then sometimes the tower has to fall in order for you to rebuild.
That's true. That's
You know?
probably what's going on in the world right now. The
Exactly.
tower's falling, and hopefully there's a peaceful and loving rebuild that we need so badly in this world. Yeah, and with that lovely message from Jonathan,
Yes.
thank you, Jonathan, for being here. I really appreciate it. You're like my bestie, and I love seeing you. And tell everybody where to follow you, where to stalk
Where
you.
to stalk me? Okay, so you can find me at Ego of Sun. So Ego, EGO dot OF dot of Sun on Instagram. I believe it's the same. I think it's the same all over on all platforms. I'm also on Threads. I'm also on LinkedIn. What else?
Under the same ego of
Yeah.
sun.
Oh, actually, LinkedIn is Jonathan Cabrero. But like, I think that's it. I think it's just Instagram and Threads. Where else am I on? I'm not on TikTok. Yeah. Instagram, Ego of Sun.
Okay, cool. And you can find this podcast at Los Angeles Film Space Club. That's the Instagram. So make sure you guys follow, and there's a lot of like cool content on there and announcements. So make sure you guys also subscribe, and this podcast is not going to grow if you guys don't tell a friend. So tell a friend and share this podcast with somebody, and hopefully we'll reach more subscribers and we could offer you better, awesome content, guys.
Exactly. Exclusive content, more stories,
Yeah.
more juicy secrets from working at a
Exactly.
showroom.
You got to unlock the next step by
Exactly. Our
sharing. Yes. All right, guys. Thank you so much. Have a great day and have
Patreon.
an amazing
Smoke
holiday.
a blunt.
Yes.
Have a drink.
Smoke a
Whatever tickles your fancy.
yes, smoke a blunt or two, or a drink or two. Thanks, guys. We love you. Mwah.
Bye.
Bye-bye.